Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C., the Obama administration remains silent on its support for Israel at the United Nations. Under the home
of Jerusalem. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Last night, the Palestinians came out after the meeting between Secretary Kerry and negotiator Saab Arafat to say that they had been told by Secretary Kerry that the United States would veto a text in front of the United Nations. Could you please clarify what the United States position is?
As the Secretary said very publicly, we haven't made a decision, and it's based on the context and the text that would be proposed. One hasn't been submitted formally yet. We realize this is an ongoing process. We've seen the same reports that you have, but we're not going to comment on alleged draft.
Today we witnessed a series of examples of European naivete and, may I add, hypocrisy. The decision of the European Court in Luxembourg on Hamas, the resolution of the EU Parliament in Brussels on Palestinian statehood, and the call from Switzerland to investigate Israel for supposed violations of the Geneva Convention. Now all these point in the same direction. They point to a spirit of appeasement in Europe.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The Jewish people were building Jerusalem 3,000 years ago, and the Jewish people are building Jerusalem today. Jerusalem is not a settlement, it's our capital.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, the UN Security Council has received a proposed resolution. The Jordanians have put forward this resolution on behalf of the Palestinians, calling for a full withdrawal of Israel from the West Bank and including to the 1967 border lines. That would include, of course, Jerusalem. And what we're hearing about is a supposed so-called shared capital of Jerusalem, which, by the way, folks, I don't know how comfortable most of you would be. I will tell you, traveling through the West Bank extensively, going to a shared capital like Jerusalem sounds like the 1967 war. I mean, it sounds like you'd basically have standoffs on either side. Wherever that line was drawn and how you'd share that escapes me, unless, of course, the UN wants to assert its role there. And the U.S. government has remained this kind of new level of silence. I want to go right to David French, a senior counsel with the ACLJ, because, David, as we were having these discussions this morning, the silence is what is so important here. It is sending a message on its own. And, in fact, the silence is very telling.
Yeah, the silence is a clear signal to Israel that the Obama administration is angry with Israel. The silence is intended to put pressure on Israel for concessions. And the silence, honestly, right now is morally unconscionable because it's coming right after a wave of terror attacks against innocent Israelis in Jerusalem. So in essence, the Obama administration is contributing to the pressure that terrorists are putting on Israel.
Folks, we want to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, because, Than, action on this, it can come now at any time at the UN Security Council. It could take days. It could be today. It could be a couple of weeks because of how the language is sorted out. But the U.S. could really put an end to this whole discussion and make it kind of moot whether or not they have the vote now or later. It never really goes public because they could announce that they will veto.
Action could come at any point, Jordan, but the shift in U.S. policy over the Obama administration is really staggering. We've gone from a place where this kind of resolution would draw an immediate veto threat to a situation where a resolution is on the table and we are saying we'll consider it.
If you want to stand with Israel and make sure our message is loud and clear, known to this administration, I want you to call our toll-free number now, 877-989-2255. I need you to call that number now. We need to stand firmly with our ally Israel. Call 877-989-2255. You want to talk to us on air? Here's the toll-free number you call, 1-800-684-3110.
The nation of Israel is facing a new and dangerous challenge. The Palestinians are trying a new strategy at the United Nations to isolate Israel. A resolution demanding that Israel withdraw from Judea and Samaria, rendering it vulnerable to its terrorist enemies. Here's the problem. The United States has not said that it will veto the resolution. That's right. The Obama administration is continuing its campaign to intimidate and isolate Israel, our closest ally in the Middle East. Stand with us now as we stand for Israel. Send Secretary Kerry and President Obama a message. Defend Israel and veto the dangerous Palestinian UN resolution. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. The U.S. government refuses publicly to announce whether or not they will veto a resolution put forward by the Jordanians on behalf of the Palestinians at the U.N. Security Council that would, amongst other things, recognize Jerusalem as a capital of the Palestinians, would require Israel to withdraw to the 67 borders. We explained yesterday on the broadcast how absurd that would be. It would make Israel basically indefensible, not able to defend its own sovereignty. And, of course, the idea that the UN Security Council or the United Nations doesn't have this kind of power on top of that, it makes a very easy case for why the U.S. And even there are reports that the Palestinians are expecting the U.S. to veto this because of their longstanding policy. But I'll tell you, what makes me nervous is the U.S. hasn't announced that they will. They keep saying that they're not going to talk about hypotheticals. It's no longer hypothetical. This is a resolution that's been submitted on behalf of the Palestinians now. And think about what they shifted on Cuba yesterday. With that kind of policy shift out of nowhere, and you think about the issue of the Palestinians, by the way, they're already changing how they've usually handled this before. Usually they get out in front of this so that it's clear to the Palestinians this is a wasted effort. If you want to do something else, the U.S. government even said to the Palestinians this time, here's what we'd be okay with. Here's what we'd let move forward and not necessarily use our veto power for. That's what is so absurd here and why I think it's so important that we all stand with Israel right now. I need you to call our toll-free number. It's 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org and sign this petition online. I want to get right to your phone calls. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Mike calling in from Indiana online too. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, thank you. You know, Israel been doing fine for 3,000 years, and, you know, God's with Israel. And, you know, We didn't give our land back to Mexico or Alaska back to Russia. You know, we're doing good to take care of ourselves. Why don't we just let God go ahead and take care of Israel?
Well, you know, it's been one of those issues, Mike, and I thank you for your phone call, where I think on the one hand, it would be nice if we could say that we don't have to almost get involved in this, and we can just let it sort itself out. But that's not the case. Geopolitically, we're talking about the modern state of Israel since 1948. There's this issue. Israel relies on the U.S. as a partner and an ally. It's a very important relationship. So I think we have to be very cognizant of that when we talk about Israel. Is it Israel's relationship with the U.S. is key. It's their most key ally in the entire world. So when we play diplomatic games with Israel, let's say ultimately there may be a veto here, but we've set the ball back years in the foreign policy by allowing these governments around the world. You're seeing the shift, as Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel talked about, the shift that's going on right now in Europe, whether it's the court at the EU saying that the Hamas terror designation is wrong and is not allowed under European law, whether you look at the situation, the EU recognizing a Palestinian state, all of this together combined, the U.S. could be doing a lot more. And it doesn't cost a lot. This is just words. Words do matter when you are the most powerful country in the world. They matter a lot. And your actions matter too. But sometimes your words can actually make sure that other actions won't even take place. When you're a superpower like the United States and you have one of those all-important veto powers at the UN Security Council, which is why we believe this game that the State Department's playing, that we haven't made a decision based on the text that would be proposed because we haven't seen it yet, even though literally Secretary of State Kerry is in meetings with the Palestinians, the Palestinians are coming out angry of those meetings, they still won't go after them. They still won't oppose what they're doing. I hope that changes sooner rather than later, and I think we've got the momentum with us right now, folks, but we need to continue to push this down the road. Let's call now. Our toll-free number is 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org, and I would underscore what happened yesterday in Cuba. It's as if you could take the words that are being used to describe that and describe what the situation right now with Israel. You see those headlines about normalizing relations, but no new freedoms, no change in the government structure of Cuba or the way people are being treated and human rights there. And you look again at our foreign policy when it comes to the Middle East. And right now we have our ally Israel, a real democracy in a region in turmoil. And these other countries, which are led by usually monarchs, families, or even quasi-dictatorships. They call themselves presidents, but there's no actual elections. And one of the reasons why is if there were actual elections, the people are so radicalized at this point, they'd end up electing groups like Hamas, which they did in the Gaza Strip. Call now. Here's our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Let me go to David French now. David, with all that's happening here, it does look like we have momentum in the right, ultimately the right way on this. But the U.S. is really damaging Israel with its silence. I want to underscore that once again for our listeners, because they may say, well, if the U.S. ultimately does the right thing here, isn't this just more of a decision on how public they are? But the truth is that public silence, it does damage Israel in all these different international agencies and organizations.
Absolutely. It does a couple of things. One, it creates uncertainty in Israel, which is a real problem. Number two, it communicates to the world that there is distance between America and Israel on these points. And then number three, it actually encourages the wave of terrorism that's just gone through Jerusalem. I mean, this is not happening in a vacuum. This is happening after Palestinian leaders encouraged terrorism. Terrorism resulted, and now the U.S. is putting pressure on Israel. That makes no sense.
Back to the phones we go, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Manny in California, line one. Manny, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Good morning, Jordan. How you doing?
Hey, Manny.
Hey, I just want to say, first of all, that your work and your team is just outstanding.
Thank you very much.
And second, I'm outraged, man. I mean, I just cannot hear our administration, but my first thing is to let the president of Israel, Netanyahu, that we support him. And I want him to stand ferocious and with all courage that he can against the Europeans, against anyone, and do not give one inch of the land that belongs to them that God gave them. Because we know that our administration, our president, the only thing he knows how to do is do what he did yesterday, deal with dictators. He is a man that we cannot count on, or his administration. I'm outraged, Jay, I mean, Jordan, just to see and to listen to has no words to describe our administration, where they should stand up and without even question on the side of Israel. You're right. The idea of negotiations, that's just, well, it explains where they are, our administration.
Absolutely. You know, Manny, thank you for your phone call and for your support and kind words. And let me go to Thea Bennett, because Thea, that is the idea here. We are seeing now bipartisan opposition to how the State Department's handled this. So friends and allies not common in Washington between, I'd say, U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham and Chuck Schumer of New York, Republican and Democrat, different on a lot of issues. But on this one, they've been very clear. The U.S. has got to publicly state, and that's key here. This is senators saying the idea is that they must publicly state that they'll veto any effort to bypass, not just do that on the one hand when it comes up, but actually make it public.
Yes, Senator Graham and Senator Schumer, in a bipartisan way, said exactly what you basically just said, that you actually have to telegraph that veto in order to stop the resolution in its tracks. And, you know, I think you and David really you put this right, but I actually think we got to look back a little bit, too. I mean, I would say that President Obama actually is specifically responsible for creating the environment in which this would happen. Remember, it was not several weeks ago that President Obama said that the 1967 border should be the starting point for negotiations. I think he has specifically emboldened Mahmoud Abbas, and that's why we are where we are today. The good news is, Jordan, in both the House and the Senate, Republicans and Democrats are opposing the president's position on this.
Folks, again, we'll continue to take your phone calls, but I want you to listen to this call to action, which is so important right now. We need to send a loud and clear message. Joining with Senator Graham, and you probably haven't heard me often say this, and maybe the first time, and Senator Chuck Schumer of New York, and calling on the State Department. This is a completely bipartisan effort here to get out ahead of something, because I don't want to see what happened with Cuba happen with Israel. And we have no warning, and we don't take, you know, maybe don't see some shifts that are happening behind the scenes and things that are happening quietly. And then it just happens, and everybody's caught off guard, even those who are very involved in the issue of things like Cuba. Now, Israel gets a bit more attention, I will say that. But we've got to make sure here. This is a time. I mean, I don't think that there's any mistake or any coincidence that these are happening simultaneously. The silence on Israel and the shifts in major foreign policy decisions. We've got to take action now. Call our toll-free number and add your name to this petition and make it clear. The U.S. should publicly state that they will veto any efforts to bypass direct negotiations with Israel. That's the way it's supposed to proceed. Call now. Here's our toll-free number. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and sign this petition online. Give us a call now. 877-989-2255.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. The nation of Israel is facing a new and dangerous challenge. The Palestinians are trying a new strategy at the United Nations to isolate Israel. A resolution demanding that Israel withdraw from Judea and Samaria, rendering it vulnerable to its terrorist enemies. Here's the problem. The United States has not said that it will veto the resolution. That's right. The Obama administration is continuing its campaign to intimidate and isolate Israel, our closest ally in the Middle East. Stand with us now as we stand for Israel. Send Secretary Kerry and President Obama a message. Defend Israel and veto the dangerous Palestinian UN resolution. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Phone calls 1-800-684-3110. We were talking about the situation in at the UN Security Council. We've got a great blog up at aclj.org, and this one really gets in the details of what the European Center for Law and Justice has urged all of the members of the UN Security Council. We've gotten a letter to them about this move, why we oppose it, why they should also oppose it. So we're taking action. You know, used to, in the past, you could just rely on the United States to do the right thing, even on more controversial issues. But this one seemed like one even the world is saying, this is something the U.S. would veto. And that ultimately may be the case, but this silence is, I think, very damaging to Israel. We believe as the ACLJ that that's the case. And while you're seeing unity between people like Senator Lindsey Graham and Senator Chuck Schumer, Republican and a Democrat, talking about calling on the State Department to veto any UN resolution and publicly state that they will do so. Publicly state. So they also acknowledge the key here is that the U.S. government remains silent, remains will not yet commit to where they are on this vote. Let me go right to the phone calls. A lot of calls coming in. Tom in California on line three. Tom, welcome to JSecio Live.
Appreciate
hey, Tom, you're on the air.
Today. Yeah, thanks. Appreciate your program. I don't believe that you can expect anything less from President Obama because I believe him to be a rabid anti-Semitic. I do not believe that his heart is with the Jewish people. And even in this country, he goes through the motions as a politician, but I don't believe his heart is with him.
Well, you know, I don't either. I do think when it comes to, I think that, you know, there's certain aspects. Again, I don't think his foreign policy is totally different than anyone I would support. But when it comes to Israel, I think that he honestly would be much worse if he could be. So he's doing everything he can possible to undermine. And that's just where I am because I see such a shift from where the U.S. has been on the issue of Israel and this administration. There's been a lot of tension, a lot of nastiness, a lot of words that have just never been public. You know, Israel and the United States can disagree, but usually friends, allies, they have those disagreements behind closed doors so that they don't undermine each other publicly. You've seen this unprecedented time when even Israeli leaders have had to come out and criticize U.S. top leaders. They would have never done that in the past, even when there was a disagreement, because they had a respect for the United States as their top ally. They would have handled it behind closed doors. We don't see that anymore today. We now see Israeli officials out there having to defend Israel's position because the U.S. is wavering.
Regardless of motive, Jordan, it is impossible to dispute the fact that the United States has shifted dramatically on its position with Israel. I really think, along with you, that it started with the president not treating Israel like the strong ally they are. I mean, that created the environment that we're in today. But listen, by design, I mean, I hate to keep saying this, but this has been an incremental thing to achieve an end result for this administration. Every time that this type of resolution is floated by the Palestinians, we show a bit more weakness. The first time, we just delay announcing a veto. The next time we say we're considering whether or not to veto it, we are out of, at a position now that is far past any point a resolution like this has ever gotten before, where it is actually tabled before the Security Council and the United States has not issued a veto threat. The other members of that permanent five, Jordan, France, Russia, China, the United Kingdom, they all look to the United States on this. That is the only reason this resolution exists. And if the United States does not veto it, it's probably going to pass because all of those other members look to the United States on this issue.
Folks, call our toll-free number now if you want to take a stand on this issue, 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. We want to take your phone calls as well. Remember, we've got another half hour of the broadcast coming up. If you want to talk to us on air, the number you call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We want to talk to you on air. We've got a couple of phone lines open, and we will take some more phone calls as well now. But I want to go to David French first. David, you put all of this into context. And listen, I'm hoping that by this afternoon or this evening, the U.S. government has come out with a clear message here, and we don't have to continue on with this campaign. But until that happens, I'm not really. I get a little more concerned, I guess, when I see Chuck Schumer. You know, liberal Democrat senator from New York, but a pretty strong supporter, very strong supporter of Israel, and Lindsey Graham uniting in a joint press release calling on the State Department to publicly state that they will veto any efforts like this by the Palestinian Authority. It makes me nervous.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Chuck Schumer should know better than any Republican in the Senate where the administration is on this, and the fact that he's nervous makes me even more nervous. But, you know, in context, where this is coming from, and this is where President Obama has been coming from throughout his entire presidency in his foreign policy, is he believes all of our enemies, all of Israel's enemies, have a set of legitimate grievances. And if you just deal with those legitimate grievances, then conflict will end. That's so fundamentally wrong. The grievance that the Palestinian Authority has against Israel is that Israel exists. We can't deal with that as a legitimate grievance. You have to stand for and defend Israel.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls on at 1-800-684-3110. Jeff calling in from North Carolina on line 6. Jeff, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I was just wondering, with all the actions the last few days with this administration, has he learned nothing, or have they learned nothing from history and Neville Chamberlain? I mean, Neville Chamberlain shows us one thing, and that appeasement does not work.
Well, listen, I don't think this administration has got a radical view of how they see the world and how they want the world to be. And they're doing everything they can. I mean, it's a liberal. I don't know. The way I see it is this is like it's like the liberals getting it's everything they could want possibly. You know, they normalize relations with Cuba now. They make no previous effort. It doesn't like they had any discussions with leaders from even the Cuban community. And those who are really involved in those issues, like Senator Menendez and Senator Rubio, I mean, on both sides of the aisle once again. And it looks like they left them out. And then when I see that kind of action, and the Cuban-American community, very vocal, very involved in politics and involved in the issues involving the government in Cuba and the Castro regime, and then we see this action where it appears that Marco Rubio, Bob Menendez, they were caught off guard. These are some of our top-ranking government officials in the country, especially when it comes to this issue. If they're caught off guard, you got to wonder if people who are strong supporters of Israel, like Senator Graham or Senator Schumer, are concerned that they may be caught off guard as well.
I think it's a great comparison because the people in the Senate with the most vested interest in Cuba from both political parties have a problem with where the president is on this. But, Jordan, I think both situations really come back to the president's narrative. He chose his narrative in advance, and he does not care what the facts of a given situation are. He is going to make a decision based on that predetermined narrative and not what the facts on the ground are. And the result is, Jordan, in almost each and every situation, he's chosen the wrong side. I mean, literally, almost every single time.
Folks, that's why we will continue to take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. Another half hour of the broadcast coming up. But I do want you to take action here. You could call, join our petition, Standing with Israel. This is a critical time. We've got to make sure the U.S. does the right thing here. It's a bipartisan effort to get the State Department off these stupid talking points and really just clear with a message. We will veto this move by the Palestinians. Very simple. Call now. Here's our toll-free number. 877-989-2255. That's the number you call. 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org. But I'd encourage you to make this phone call now. 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and take action online.
Stand with us now as we stand for Israel. Send Secretary Kerry and President Obama a message. Defend Israel and veto the dangerous Palestinian UN resolution. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are discussing the situation at the UN Security Council, which has really gone on too long. It's gone too far, and we just thought, you know, no more silence, no more just waiting for the U.S. to announce that they will veto this move by the Palestinians to push Israel's borders to shrink them back down to the 1967 borders, which we explain in a great post online at ACLJ.org why that's absurd. And why, you know, Palestinians got a huge chunk of land. That's just now known as the nation of Jordan now. And that's who submitted this resolution to the United Nations Security Council on behalf of the Palestinians. 80% of the land that they're discussing here is part of the Kingdom of Jordan. And so really what we're discussing is a second Palestinian state, if you will. That's one thing. Of course, giving up Jerusalem. The list goes on and on and on. But in the U.S. past, we just said, we're going to veto this. You know, there could be discussions. Even the U.S. government told the Palestinians, this is fairly unprecedented too, how far they'll let them go and what they would okay or at least not veto. That doesn't seem to have even worked in this situation. Seems like the Palestinians are expecting a veto, but we won't announce it. We're afraid. And when I say we, I mean the U.S. government. And we're going to continue to take your phone calls on this. I want to go right to the phones now. Let's go to Anna calling from Missouri Online 2. Anna, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
So, Jay, I've signed your petition and I've bought your book.
Thank you.
But I have something that's been bothering me since this Cuba thing came up.
Yep.
Russia and Cuba are still communist countries. Therefore, is this a way for the president to funnel money to Cuba as the ruble has fallen?
Well, you know, I think, remember, both that, you know, Russia is no longer technically a communist country anymore. The Soviet Union has fallen, though certainly their prime minister, Putin, is kind of resurrected the idea of that. And, you know, Cuba has kind of been the start. I don't know if there's a connection between Russia and Cuba so much anymore, though, you know, it remains to be seen. I think this caught people off guard to an extent where it wasn't that the U.S. wasn't ready to have a conversation. But I think for me, David, what on what to do with Cuba and whether or not the policy just wasn't working anymore, if there should be changes. But, David, what was shocking here is there was no conversation. I mean, there wasn't a conversation with the Cuban-American community. There wasn't a conversation with the U.S. senators who work within those communities.
No, he just did it. He just did it. And now that the details are coming out, I mean, it's deeply troubling. He released individuals who are in prison for killing Americans. They were involved in the murder of Americans, and they were given back to Cuba. And he did it without any concessions from Cuba. Now, this is something we're growing familiar with. We're seeing this in the Iran negotiations. He keeps giving benefits to enemy countries with no concessions. This is what is always astonishing to me.
Folks, we will, again, continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We got another two segments of the broadcast. So if you're hanging on the line, trust me, we're going to get to your phone calls. We want to talk to you and have a discussion. That's the second half hour of the broadcast, a great time to have an extended discussion on these topics. Let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org, read the blog. It's right on the homepage about the European Center for Law and Justice confronting the Palestinian resolution at the UN. It gets into great detail in a way that will really, it was a mini expertise on the issue. It gets you right up to speed. It doesn't shy away from specifics, and it gives you a lot more information than you would get in just a news report about it. You will really be able to know what's happened to the UN before, and you're going to get this right in a post on our homepage. It's at ACLJ.org. So I encourage you to check that out. Share it with your friends and family online so that they have a real argument. It's not just, do you support Israel or are you against Israel, but just read the facts and then let people make up their own decision. I think it lays it out in a great way. And, of course, you can take a stand on this issue. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to ACLJ.org, sign our petition online.
The American Center for Law and Justice engages the critical issues protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. It's vital work that could not be accomplished without your generosity, your financial support. Now you can make a tremendous difference with our matching challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. We really need to hear from you now. Please support the ACLJ. Your gift made today will be doubled, a gift that will keep us on the front lines protecting you and your family. Support the ACLJ and your gift will be doubled. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org. The nation of Israel is facing a new and dangerous challenge. The Palestinians are trying a new strategy at the United Nations to isolate Israel. A resolution demanding that Israel withdraw from Judea and Samaria, rendering it vulnerable to its terrorist enemies. Here's the problem. The United States has not said that it will veto the resolution. That's right. The Obama administration is continuing its campaign to intimidate and isolate Israel, our closest ally in the Middle East. Stand with us now as we stand for Israel. Send Secretary Kerry and President Obama a message. Defend Israel and veto the dangerous Palestinian UN resolution. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
So what Senator Marco Rubio had to say about President Obama's unilateral decision on Cuba. Take a listen, Byte 14.
It's ironic that a week after we imposed sanctions on human rights violators in Venezuela, we are lifting sanctions on the government that has taught the Venezuelans how to commit these human rights violations. It's absurd. And it's part of a long record of coddling dictators and tyrants that this administration has established.
Think about that from Senator Marco Rubio, part of a long record, remember 6 years into the Obama presidency now, of coddling dictators and tyrants that this administration has established. And then I play it. Remember, Senator Rubio brought up Venezuela. Listen to what Senator Ted Cruz had to say as well, because they both tie this in together, Byte 31.
This announcement today will be remembered as a tragic mistake. You know, Cuba was struggling. It was gasping for air. It has been relying on Venezuela with oil prices cratering. Venezuela is hurting economically. And just like the administration did with Iran, right when the administration was feeling the maximum pain, it throws them an economic lifeline and continues the brutal repression and dictatorship of the Castro brothers.
So just think about that. And who is Cuba, you know, in 2014? Take a listen by 32.
Cuba is an ally of North Korea. It is an ally of Iran. It is an ally of Venezuela. It is an avowed enemy of this country. It was sad to see both the president and John Kerry essentially blame America first. The Castros are the ones who have decided to be brutal, repressive dictators. And we should not be taking blame for the fact that we responded to their active acts of war and hostility.
I don't even want to get into the North Korea situation, the hacking issue, and like movies or not, the idea that now U.S. companies are afraid to show movies and are canceling movies because of a petty regime in North Korea, which so far, you know, their threats, again, the hacking thing, if tied to them, which we believe it will be, it's real and significant, but at the same time, you know, that we're taking these violent threats from North Korea this kind of way, and that they are, in a sense, winning their war through this PR campaign, if you will, and through hacking and technology to shut down movies, like them or not. That's one thing about America that makes America great, is that we're not afraid of these things, and that you don't have to go see the movie, but the fact that it's now shut down. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like a lot's happening all at the same time, and certainly enough to make you a bit nervous to how this administration is handling things and the tone that they are setting around the world, that these countries believe they can get away with these kind of actions right now without the U.S. doing anything about it. Mary Ellen calling in from Illinois online for Mary Ellen. Welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Oh, hi, Jordan. 2 points. You mentioned something earlier about Russia and Cuba. But I heard that they, and you have to check this out, they recently signed some agreement, I think, to share intelligence. So they're
they're still certainly work together. I was referring back to the Cold War allegiances, a little bit different now with Russia's setting in the world. But, yeah, I mean, remember, we are one of the remaining major countries in the world that has these kind of policy towards Cuba. And so, listen, that's why I think it was fair to have a discussion with the American people about, you know, should we still have these complete bans, restrictions on import, exports, and, you know, travel. It makes it very difficult. Though, you know, that has been lifted time and time again over the last decades. It's become, you know, students could go there and different groups could go there. Families were able to visit again and things like that. That was a discussion that could be had, but there was no discussion. And so I think when you just do it and you don't realize it, you may not think of Cuba 100 miles off the coast of Florida as a country that works with North Korea, but it does. So when you're making these kind of changes and you're dealing with a North Korea problem right now in the U.S., that underscores to me, David, why we're not seeing the overall bigger context of these decisions sometimes. We sometimes see it as Cuba, and we're not connecting Cuba to Venezuela. We're not connecting Cuba to Iran. We're not connecting Cuba to North Korea.
Right. I mean, you know, when it comes to Cuba, every major American enemy regime in Latin America for the last 50 years has received direct and enthusiastic assistance from Cuba. I mean, that's just a fact. And so for him to unilaterally alter our relationship with Cuba with no concessions, it is, well, I would say, you know what? It's entirely consistent with his overall foreign policy, which is five words: appease enemies and betray friends.
Folks, so we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to talk to us on air. Let's go to Kathy in Texas on line 5. Kathy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi.
Thanks. Hi, Kathy. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm here.
Gotcha.
I'm here. Hold on.
You're on the air. We got you.
Yes, I am.
What's your question, Kathy, or your comment? It looks like I think Kathy may still have a radio on. It may be that. And it looks like we lost her. Kathy, you want to give us a call back? Our toll-free number, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We do have some calls coming into opposing. We were talking about Israel as well. Rosemary calling in from Virginia on line 3. Rosemary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure,
I do
you're on
have
the air.
Some counterpoints that come from the past, and also with Cuba, from the past. Batista was a corrupt leader. And it just seems to me that now, with Obama being a liberal pacifist, if he wants to go through the steps to socialism and then make friends with these communists, then I'm thinking that he would then make them go to a more equality, socialistic governments. But that was
but the problem is they call themselves that, Rosemary. That's what they say they are. And that's what the Cuban revolutionaries would say. That's what Castro said. That's what that they are. They have to force an equality. They have to force these and of course we disagree with that idea. But you know, that they would align themselves with the left of the world. Whether that's right or wrong, I'm just telling you that the language of that is very similar to the language they would use. And they've shown no signs of shifting. Even the transition between Fidel and then his brother Raul, you didn't see a major shift in how things operate in Cuba. In fact, pretty similar.
That's what I'm saying. That's the way Obama wants to go, as a liberal pacifist. And he wants us into socialism, which we are going. You don't have to remove the blinders to see that we're heading towards socialism, and that's what they want. And then when he has the strength of the communists, it would be easier for them also to go into a socialistic role, and maybe even as the
I got you.
And as the Russians have done, they even have gone into capitalism. So I'm thinking it's change, and they're just going to keep making baby steps until we knuckle under as Americans. We're still fighting freedom and brave and hallowed ground and everything, and we're out of step, I think. I don't think it's right, but That's what it is. Anyway, Israel, 1948, they took the land away from the Palestinians, right? And
well, that's not exactly right. Remember, we actually put this up in our blog posting just to make it clear to everybody. Palestinians got 80% of that land. It's just called the Kingdom of Jordan now. But it was part, I mean, that was part of the deal. That there was no Jordan before that. It was Transjordan, but there was no kingdom. And 80% of the land there went from, you know, as the UN was dividing this all up, and of course the British involved here as well, 80% of that land went to what became the Kingdom of Jordan. And so we're really talking about, in my opinion, Palestinian part two, Palestinian territory part two.
Okay. All right, so, all right, even if, but a million people were displaced. Okay, and I've heard on the radio for a very long time, stop building in the West. Stop building, we're going to stop building. And they don't stop building, they keep building. And that's number, the point number two. Third point, Arabs believe that right makes might. And if the imams would get the radicals to get back into a religious mode and forget all this medieval practices, then I think the Muslims would have the strength to really win this transgressions that we're
Yeah, into. I would just say, Rosemary, we have a fundamental disagreement. I don't think the imams, first of all, I don't think they would take those steps. We haven't seen the vocal opposition to these movements, as you call them, medieval. I think that's a fair characterization, but I don't think we're going to see that. In part two, part of the negotiation with Israel, I think, would be there may be building stops. There may even be some withdrawals from the West Bank settlements, as you want to call them. But when you start talking about West Bank settlements within Jerusalem, to me, that's two different issues. You want to talk about some of the settlements that are outside Ramallah, some of the settlements that are outside Bethlehem. I think those are real negotiating points that the Palestinians can bring to the table and that the Israelis have offered before. But to include that, when you use that term, to include parts of Jerusalem as well, that's where the divide happens. And the idea that the Palestinians think that by UN resolution, they're somehow going to get Jerusalem as their capital, that's absurd. That is absurd. They have not shown, one, that they are competent to govern, that they are competent to take care of their own people or provide basic human rights, basic infrastructure. It is a violent, dangerous place to be for lots of people, including Muslims. Call now. We've got to get public opposition on this resolution, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org.
The nation of Israel is facing a new and dangerous challenge. The Palestinians are trying a new strategy at the United Nations to isolate Israel. A resolution demanding that Israel withdraw from Judea and Samaria, rendering it vulnerable to its terrorist enemies. Here's the problem. The United States has not said that it will veto the resolution. That's right. The Obama administration is continuing its campaign to intimidate and isolate Israel, our closest ally in the Middle East. Stand with us now as we stand for Israel. Send Secretary Kerry and President Obama a message. Defend Israel and veto the dangerous Palestinian UN resolution. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice engages the critical issues protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. It's vital work that could not be accomplished without your generosity, your financial support. Now you can make a tremendous difference with our matching challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. We really need to hear from you now. Please support the ACLJ. Your gift made today will be doubled. A gift that will keep us on the front lines protecting you and your family. Support the ACLJ and your gift will be doubled. Call now. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
We are in excelsis day. JSEC Yo Live. We are taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones. We're talking Israel. I want to continue the phone calls. People have been hanging on the line. Thomas in Nevada. Thomas, thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, my arm's getting kind of tired from holding, but that's okay.
You're on the air now.
Yeah, I know. First of all, I just want to thank you for all the work you do. I know you do a lot of good work, hard work, and you've had a lot of victories. I just want to, first of all, express my support for what you're doing for Israel. And, in fact, I signed a petition. I even fly an Israeli flag outside of my house.
That's great.
I fly the American
thank
flag.
You.
I fly
thank
the American
you,
flag, you know, above that, but I fly the Israeli flag. I'm probably the only one in, I don't know, in my town, Sparks, probably, that does that. But anyway, what I want to say is, you know, what you're talking about the silence on the part of the Obama and the White House. But that, you know, I'm outraged by it, but it doesn't surprise me because this has been Obama's, basically his M.O. ever since he took office, you know. I mean, he's always been kind of distant from Israel, and as time goes on, it's getting even worse. You know, it'd be like, I guess, like the U.N. coming in and saying, well, we got to give up half our land to Mexico, you know, the land
It'd be absurd, and we wouldn't even have those discussions. Would not go far. We wouldn't take them very seriously, and that would be that. It'd almost be laughed away. And this could be handled that way. But the administration, by this silence that they have given to the Palestinians, you're right. You heard that right. They've given this silence, has given it legitimacy, given their position legitimacy by being quiet. That's what they have done. I'll go to David Fritsch because, David, that's how I see it. I see that the Palestinians, even though they expect that the U.S. will ultimately veto a move like this, if it's as broad as everything that's been reported, that they have gained a lot by the silence because it's a new level of respect for this kind of extreme position.
Well, that's right. I mean, they know literally that every day of silence is more pressure on Israel. Every day of silence signals more of a distance between Israel and the United States. And that's incredibly important for the Palestinians as they think about their negotiating position going forward. And the silence is coming after a wave of terrorist violence, which makes it even more unconscionable. So that's what we're dealing with, is an intentional administration effort to pressure Israel. So no one should interpret the silence anything different from that.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. Alan calling in from Texas on line 6. Alan, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I got two questions. First one is, what country or the United Nations has the authority to go in and tell another country what to do? And second question is, who is, like, the leader of the United Nations? Is there one particular person that makes this decision to work? And go ahead and go forward.
Well, there's the Secretary General of the UN, but really the leader of the United Nations is the Security Council and the five permanent members who have the veto. And Than, that's really the key here, is that the U.S. is one of those leaders, and by having the full veto and being a permanent member of the Security Council, along with Russia, France, the UK, and you look at in China, you look at that setup. Listen, I mean, there's a lot of issues that unfortunately get vetoed that we don't necessarily agree with. But by having that power, the U.S. plays an important role because it can put a stop to these even discussions. It can announce the veto and no one's going to care about this. In fact, by announcing that they will veto it, the news coverage kind of goes away. It's over. But by leaving the door open, the stories continue. And this whole story about how, well, the U.S. hasn't made its mind up, it all continues in the media.
It's always been handled in that fashion for decades and decades. The United States has promised to veto. The issue has gone away. But listen, the process at the Security Council is really designed to restrain the authority of the United Nations. These five members, the United States, the United Kingdom, Russia, China, and France, any one of them can stop a resolution like this. And I would just tell our listeners, the same process would happen when the Palestinians seek statehood. The Security Council is the one that has to approve that. The United States would be the one that would need to issue the veto threat and ultimately veto any type resolution. So, Jordan, my concern is that this is just step one of the process. If the United States stands down on this, what is going to keep them from standing down on the next one?
And, folks, that's why we will continue to fight this issue and continue to speak out about it. It's up at ACLJ.org. I want to continue to take your phone calls now. Ralph calling in from New York online, too. Ralph, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call. I'll make my comments quick.
Sure.
This should be no surprise. Anybody who looked at or took the time to watch this, Dinesh D'Souza's movie 2016, This is the playbook. This is evident. What really confuses and what I don't understand is nobody stands in the way. Nobody with a government that we have, nobody stands in the way. And to be perfectly honest, it almost seems like nobody really cares. It seems like Obama's playing chess when everybody else is playing checkers. And, you know, I know that the mantra, or many times you and your father say, you know, elections have consequences, but, you know, I shudder to think what this man is going to do with this country in the next 2 years.
I think, Alan, you're exactly right, Ralph. And I thank you for your phone call, and thanks for holding on to talk to us. Because to me, and I'll go to David on this, David, the idea here is that how much will this administration try to do without consulting Congress, doing it on its own, especially when it comes to the realm of foreign policy where the president does have the most unquestioned kind of power, and at least try to radically transform our relationships with the rest of the world. That includes with things like the United Nations and even our allies.
Well, you know, it seems pretty clear that he knows and fully understands he doesn't have another election to worry about, and he's going to push things as far as he can. And I think at some level, he's almost intentionally provoking the new Congress. I think he's trying to provoke the new Congress into a reaction that he would spin as an overreaction to try to restore his fortunes in the public eye. But he is provoking Congress. He's acting as he is, as a man without another election to face, who's going to use the pen and phone to accomplish as much of his agenda that he possibly can.
Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Timothy in Florida, line 4. Timothy, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Yes, Jay, I just want to thank you guys for taking my call. I have two comments I wanted to make. First, I want to make a comment about this Cuba situation. I really believe that this is just, you know, further a display of his tyrannical, you know, outreach of power and overreach of power, and that he's just going to continue to go down this path as long as he's allowed. And secondly, you know, the situation with Israel, I commend everything you guys are doing. I totally commend everything you guys are doing. But one thing I think that we need to understand as Christians is that no matter what happens, God said that this land would never leave them again. And once they became a nation in 1948, God said in his word that the people of Israel would never leave their land again. And so no matter what happens, God's going to protect Israel.
Well, I agree with you, and I thank you for your phone call, Timothy. Here's my concern in the last 50 seconds of the show today. My concern is that we're making it harder for Israel. I don't think the U.S. role should ever be, and I think we're playing in a dangerous world because you said you're quoting Scripture, citing Scripture. I don't want to be on the wrong side of God on this issue and the wrong side of Scripture, but certainly I don't want to make it easier for Israel's enemies. I don't want to make it harder for our ally Israel, and that is why we've got this petition up. I want you to call. Let's get active here. I hope we don't have to be pushing this tomorrow, but I suspect we may have to be. Let's call now. Let's get engaged on this. Call our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's the number you call to sign this petition, 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org. Call now, 877-989-2255.
Stand with us now as we stand for Israel. Send Secretary Kerry and President Obama a message. Defend Israel and veto the dangerous Palestinian UN resolution. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.